And this makes the chemical potential temperature dependent. So
here you can imagine that at first we start out with a low temperature and we've calculated the correct chemical potential, and it's right here at this point. And now we increase the temperature a little bit. When we increase the temperature, the Fermi function will be more smeared out. It will go down more like this. And what that does is it removes particles at this energy, and it adds particles out here at that energy. And so these will be less likely to be occupied, and the ones at the energy out here will be more likely to be occupied. But because the density of states is falling, we have to push the chemical potential out a little bit to keep the area under this curve constant. Right? So the density of states is falling, and here's the Fermi function is doing something like this. So if I increase the temperature and keep the Fermi function the same, it would look like that. And I would take electrons away at this level in this region, and I put them back at a much lower rate on the other side. So in order to keep the area under the curve constant, I have to move the chemical potential out like this. And you get a temperature dependence to the chemical potential. I've drawn it something like this. But then if you look carefully at it, this is 2.57, yes, yeah, 2.57, and at the top it's still 2.57. It only moves slightly. So a lot of times people just calculate the chemical potential at one temperature and use it at a single temperature. It's a little bit materials dependent. Some materials have a stronger temperature dependence on chemical potential. But if you wanted to calculate its temperature dependence, this is the way you would do it. At every temperature, you make sure that the area under this curve is the right electron density. And in order to do that, you have to move the chemical potential in and out.